It is so very good to see everybody who is here this morning. This morning I traded with Grant, who normally takes care of the people in the parking lot, and I traded work with Grant and let him take care of the Lord's Supper here and here in the building. The reason for that is because those of you that are in the parking lot, I miss you terribly. We have a lot of brethren that are still in the parking lot. And I miss seeing your faces, and so I cannot begin to tell you how good it was just to see your faces. It was especially good for me to see Sister Lewis this morning. We love her very dearly. She was telling me this past week that she has been suffering with neuropathy in her feet. That is, she's losing the feeling in her feet because of the treatment she's been going through. And so in your prayers, when you're going to God for Sister Lewis, I would appreciate it if you would pray specifically that she could be healed of her neuropathy. Also, I was talking to Barbara Henry out in the parking lot, and she told me that her sister is in the hospital here. So please keep Barbara's sister in your prayers. I've had several people give me compliments about my preaching through the decades. But I think there was one compliment that was given to me that stands out above them all. And it was given to me by a 7-year-old boy who simply said, "That was a good sermon." Now you may be thinking, why does that one stand out? Well, because for a 7-year-old boy to tell me it was a good sermon, that tells me two things. One, my sermon was preached so simply that a 7-year-old boy could understand it. And two, somehow I was able to keep a 7-year-old boy's attention. And so my sermon this morning is actually for everybody. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody. I mean if you're 7 or younger, this sermon is for you. I know this is being videoed right now, so watch very closely because you're going to see me do something that you never see me do. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above, looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. That's a song that children sing in vacation Bible school. And it's such a simple song. But if you sit down and think about the message in the song, it is a profound message that if we can learn it as children and then hang on to that message in our life as teenagers and when we grow older, if we can just learn this lessons in this simple song and put it in application, I would say you should be able to be living, hopefully, an outstanding life as a Christian. And so we're going to take this song, Be Careful, and we're going to actually go to the Scriptures. And we're going to dive into the Word of God and show you that the principles taught within this song are actually taught in the Word of God. Our primary text this morning is going to be over in Proverbs chapter 4. And so if you don't have a copy of the sermon outline, if you just turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, this is where you're going to be finding the base text from which the sermon is taken. Starting here now in Matthew chapter 6, 22 through 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We have senses, 5 senses, through which we are taking information into our mind that is making up our mind and our thought processes. And it is from our mind and our thought processes that all of our words and all of our actions eventually come from. And so the idea here is the importance of the eyes. It's the lamp of the body. It's how we take the primary amount of information into the mind is through the eyes. Satan attacks us through primarily 3 methods. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If your eye is consumed with the lust of the flesh, then it is going to be darkened by it to where it is going to affect literally everyone you're looking at and everything you're thinking about. If your eye is darkened by the lust of the flesh, then that's going to be affecting everything you see and controlling all of your thoughts. If it's the pride of life, then everything you're thinking about is always going to be about me. It's always going to be about me. And so what we're trying to get to is to where our eyes are not darkened to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. We're trying to get the eye to where it's clear and our thoughts are pure and thus our actions are pure. And Psalm 101 verse 3 is one of the best verses I know of that teaches about getting control of what we're putting in front of our eyes. Get control of your eyes and what you see. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. We are living in the age of screens. I am reading the sermon outline from a computer screen. You're looking at a screen. We have a television screen. Back in the classrooms, we've got television screens. You whip out your phones, you've got phone screens. We are continually taking information through our eyes, through our screens. Be careful, little eyes, what you have on your screens. Be careful what you're allowing to come into your mind through your eyes, through your computer, your smartphones, your iPads, and your televisions. Do not set wicked things before your eyes, because they will affect your thought processes and they will cling to your thought processes. Look at the last part of the verse. I hate the work of those who fall away. If you are setting wicked things before your eyes, it will lead spiritually to you falling away from God. Look at the last part of the verse. It shall not cling to me. There again is the idea of the eye being darkened. If you are setting wicked things before your eyes through your screens, it is clinging to your thought processes. It is affecting the way you think about the opposite sex. And so get control of your screens. If you can't get control of your screens, get rid of them. Do not let your screens be an avenue through which Satan is pumping your mind full of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Going over to Proverbs now, chapter 4, 21 through 23. Here he says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In the context here, he's talking about the teachings that were being given to him by his father, the teachings of wisdom. I would refer to the teaching of wisdom to be the word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so instead of putting filth in front of your eyes and things that are wicked in front of your eyes, try this for a change. Put the word of God in front of your eyes. And open your mind and your eyes to the scriptures. Look at the last part of this verse. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. That's the idea of getting control of what you're feeding the mind, what you're taking into your mind through your eyes. And he tells you the reason for that. For out of it spring all the issues. You look at it, all the issues of life. Everything you say, everything you're doing is coming from your mind. And therefore, we must get control of the mind. And to get control of the mind, we have to get control of what our eyes are seeing. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful about it. He says, going back to the very beginning of the verse, do not let them depart from your eyes. That is, have the word of God in front of you always. Continuing on in Proverbs 4 and 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. I'm going to tell you a reality. The world in which we live, there are a lot of women that dress immorally. They like to show their body, just putting it blunt. They're very proud of their body, and they want everybody to see it. The problem is, we as Christian men and women, we should not be seeing these women's bodies. And so I was taught this, and I'm going to try to teach it to you now. And the idea is, when you see a woman who's dressed immoral, let your eyes bounce away. A way I had a preacher friend of mine in Texas put it one time is, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from making a nest in your hair. When you realize you're around someone that's dressed immodestly, bounce the eyes. Linda doesn't even want me going to Walmart in the spring and in the summer because there's so many immodestly dressed women. And sometimes when she asks me how I'm doing, I say, my eyes feel like ping pong balls. Because it's like bonk, 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 bonk. And so I'm just walking through. If I'm walking through Walmart and I'm looking down, there's a reason for that. Because I don't need to be seeing this woman's body, folks. And by the way, if you say it doesn't affect you, okay, something's wrong with you. Because if you're a guy and you still got anything, it's going to affect you. Get control, little eyes. What you see. Isn't that simple? And so here he's talking about look straight ahead. I don't want to look to the right, don't look to the left. Okay, I'm surrounded by wickedness. Don't even look at it. Keep my eyes focused and don't get pulled into it. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For your Father up above is looking down in tender love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Jeremiah 23, 16 through 17. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesied to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 23 is one of the best chapters in the Bible that is dealing with the subject of false prophets. These are men that are saying, God is speaking through me. I am telling you the will and word of God. When in reality, they're making it up out of their own imaginations. There are multitudes of people out in the world who are trying to tell you what they believe and what they feel to be the word of God. And in reality, it is not from the scriptures. It's from their feelings and their desires. Be careful, little ears, who you're listening to. When you recognize someone is teaching you something that's not true, don't listen to them anymore. Yeah, I'll go ahead and say it. You know, there's a reason I don't watch the news anymore. If you lied to me 20 times in a row, you no longer have the honor to speak to me again. You need to realize that you're being duped a lot of times by the television. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. When you realize someone's lying to you, stop listening to them. Continuing the text, he says, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. This has been very popular for millennia. Find people who are living in sin and then tell them it's okay. Tell them not to worry about it. Tell them it's saved. Tell them they can't be lost. Tell them whatever it is they want to hear. Be careful, little ears, what you're listening to. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. When people are lying to you, especially about your soul's eternal destiny and about your relationship with God, stop listening to them. Going back to Proverbs 4 now and verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Again in Proverbs 4 and 20. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. If you want to open your ears and open your mind, open your ears and open your mind to the Word of God. Now, I will observe this about me. I am preaching up here, and when I'm making comments about the Scriptures, I can be wrong, folks. But what you have in front of you on the outline are the Scriptures themselves. They're never wrong. So open your ears and open your mind to my sermon outlines. Open your ears and open your mind to the Word of God and let it enter into your mind and into your heart. That's a major part of keeping your heart with all diligence, is opening your mind to the Holy Spirit-given Scriptures, because by doing so, you're opening your heart to God and letting Him fill up your mind and fill up your heart and fill up your life. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. For your Father up above is looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. Isn't that simple? That's so simple. But it is absolutely true. Be careful what you say. Proverbs again, chapter 4, verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So getting control of our eyes, getting control of our ears, getting control of our lips, and the things that are coming out of our mouth. James 1:26, how important is getting control of your lips? If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Useless religion, folks. Now listen, I believe everybody who was here this morning in the parking lot this morning, we perceive ourselves as being religious. That's why we're here. Do you have the bridle on your tongue? The idea of having the bridle on your tongue is you have control of the words that are coming out of your mouth. Be careful, little lips, what you say. In Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Guard your mouth to where the words that are coming out of your mouth are precisely exactly what you want to come out of your mouth, because once they're out, you can't get them back. You can apologize for them, but you can't get them back. Proverbs again, 15 and 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Are you seeing this concept of pouring forth? This idea, you're not careful. You're not thinking. You're just blurting it out there and saying it quickly. When you blurt it out there and say it quickly, especially when it's driven by emotions, you're going to mess up big time. Let me give you a couple of verses on this. From Hebrews 12, 14 through 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now look at this. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. What I've tried to teach you about this verse before is that anger is highly infectious. That when someone is upset and they're angry and they're acting ugly, when they act that way toward you, they can poison your spirit, and then you find yourself acting the way they're acting. Do not allow people to infect you with their bitterness, to infect you with their anger. One last verse on this. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When you are angry, the best thing to say is absolutely nothing. Because in your anger, you're not going to say or do something that is constructive and right and kind. To the contrary, when you speak in anger or act in anger, you're going to say and do things that are hurtful and destructive. When you are upset or angry, don't post anything on Facebook. Because it's not going to be good. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, James 1:20. And so in your emotions, be careful, little lips, what you say. Because once it's out there, it's been said. And a lot of times when we act and speak that way, we end up finding ourselves having to say, I'm sorry for what I said. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in tender love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Again, Proverbs 4, 26 to 27. Ponder the path of your feet. You know, the text you're talking about, think about what you're going to say. Think about what you're hearing. Think about what you're seeing. Think about where you're going. Ponder the path of your feet. Pay attention to where you are. Pay attention to the environment around you. Pay attention to what's coming ahead of you. Ponder the path of where am I going? What am I doing? He says, and let all your ways be established. Where you're going the right way and every step is sure. Every step is not slipping. Every step is making your life better. He says, do not turn to the right or the left. You remember earlier about the eyes looking straight ahead, not to the right or the left. Now you don't want your feet going to the right or left. Keep going straight ahead. See where you are. See where you wanted to go to and see how to get there and take your time getting there. I'm going to just put it to you this way. When I do things and I do them in a hurry, I mess up. And when I don't pay attention to where I am, I may find myself in a circumstance I don't want to be there. Ponder the path of your feet. Be careful, little feet, where you go. He says, remove your foot from evil. When you realize you are in a position where you're surrounded by wickedness, remember the Joseph strategy. Run. Just flee fornication. Flee youthful lust. Turn the television off. Turn the screen off if you realize filth is in front of you. You know, these little remote controls, they're amazing. Find the off button and learn to use it well. Going back to Proverbs 4, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Look at now this. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. One of my favorite things that I've learned from studying the Word of God and the techniques God uses in teaching us, He'll say something, and then He'll say it again, and then He'll say it again. You know why? Because that's how we are. We need to hear it, and then we need to hear it again. And make sure I got the point. Tell me again. Look at what he does here. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Now, just stop right here, folks. There's a beginning of the way and there's an end of the way. Sometimes at the beginning of an end of a way, it may seem right. It may seem like it's a good way to go. But at the end of that way, it's death. The way in which Satan tempts us and attacks us is not something new. Usually, the sins we find ourselves giving into in the end of the temptation, there is a path that leads to that temptation and the end of it. And usually, if it's a struggle which you have often, you've traveled that path several times. There's a path to sin. When you realize you're at the beginning of the path that ultimately leads to sin and the end of that path is death, guess what? Don't start down the path. It's a very simple principle. Be careful, little feet, where you go. If you know from past experience the end of this journey is sin, then don't begin the journey. Do not walk down the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. You're walking in it. You're continuing going forward in it. And then he says three times, avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. He tells us the same thing three times. To drive the point home. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Ponder the path of your feet. And if you know the end of a journey is going to be sin, don't go down that path at all. Going back to Proverbs 4, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. There's a way that leads to destruction. There's also a way here that he calls the way of wisdom. That is where you're at a situation, and because you have the Word of God filling up your mind, you understand where you are, and you know how to handle the situation. That's wisdom, recognizing where you are and knowing what to do in each situation. This wisdom comes from the Word of God. Let the Word of God and the wisdom of the Word of God be the right path that you're traveling down. And again, notice the three ways he does it here in the close of this verse. Take firm hold of the instruction. Don't let go. Isn't that saying the same thing? Yeah, it is. Keep her. Here's the third. It does the same thing here. Make sure you have this. You got it? You sure you got it? I feel like my dad's talking to me. Because that's why sometimes I had to learn. Tell me and tell me again. And really make sure you understand it so you tell me again. Go this way. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Travel the path of wisdom. It's not in the sermon outline here, but Proverbs 4 and 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. It's the most important thing. Let that be what guides your steps. Deuteronomy 5, 32 to 33. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in the ways the Lord your God has commanded you. Here in Deuteronomy, he's trying to explain to us that God has given commands about the way he wants us to live our lives. Let me just make an observation. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what your needs are. We need to trust God's word in its guidance, that he is telling us the way to go is the right way. Notice how he says here, be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Make sure the Word of God that is before your eyes, the Word of God that is filling up your mind, the Word of God that is giving you wisdom, is the Word of God that you're following, that you're doing. When you're doing the Word of God, that is practicing and living wisdom. He puts it this way again in the last part of the verse, that you may live, that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So if you will follow the Word of God, you will be able to avoid a whole lot of unnecessary suffering. You will be able to avoid a whole lot of problems and a whole lot of sin in your life. And your life will be well. And you will live long and have a good life filled with blessings. That's why it says in Psalm 119:59, I thought about my ways. I turn my feet to your testimonies. So here you're thinking about your life. You're thinking about the way you're living. And now you're comparing your life to the Word of God. And you finally come into the conclusion, listen real close now, I'm going to do it His way. I'm going to go His way. I'm going to trust His Word. And I'm going to let my feet follow His testimonies. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And finally, Proverbs 4 again, verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. It shines ever brighter. Look at the last part of this. Unto the perfect day. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, do you ever have a day where it's just really a good day? You're really doing a good job. You're focusing on where you're going. You're watching what you say. You're watching what you see. You're watching what you hear. You're watching everything. You're thinking about your path, and you're taking it, and it's a blessing, and another blessing, and another blessing. And it's just been a beautiful day. And as you go through the day, and at the end of the day, you go, man, that was a great day. That was a great day. I serve the Lord faithfully this day, and I've been blessed right and left. I can't help it. I really like autumn. If football was in the spring, then I would give it an upper hand. But football starts in the fall, so fall wins. But wasn't it nice this morning? Isn't it nice outside? How many of you, when you walked outside the door, you went, oh, cool air, fresh air, crisp air. The leaves have started to turn, and we see two leaves changing. We go, look, two leaves are changing. All right, it's a beautiful day. Make it the perfect day. A day where you're doing God's will from the beginning to the end, to where you're thinking about what you're seeing, hearing, saying, doing. And then do the will of the Lord by faith. And at the end of that day, that was a good day. That's the perfect day. You're never going to get to the perfect day until you do it His way. Every perfect day in your life is going to be because God was at the center of it. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in tender love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. Deuteronomy 15:5. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe with care all these commandments which I commanded you today. That verse is teaching exactly what the song that I just sang to you says. Be careful. Be careful and take care to make sure you're keeping the commandments of God in your life. He says the same thing in Titus 3:5, 3:8. This is the faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. And those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Notice here he talks about us being careful to maintain good works. Maintaining means you keep on doing it. You keep on doing good works. Good works are the word of God, the will of God. The Word of God is teaching us about our relationship with God, but the majority of the commands are talking about relationship with people, okay? And God is trying to teach us how to show kindness, honor, respect, and love to everybody. And so be active in showing kindness and love to everybody. Truly become the light of the world. Truly become and be the salt of the earth. To where everyone who knows you is blessed because of that relationship. Because when they are in your presence, they're blessed simply by being around you. You be careful to maintain good works. Let me give you one last verse on this and the sermon will be yours. Proverbs 31:20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. When we're talking about being careful what we do with our hands, do you realize how important your hand is? Jesus is at the right hand of God. That phrase right there should tell you your right hand, if you're right-handed, is pretty important, isn't it? Your hands are what you're doing things with. Make sure your hands are busy doing things that are good for others. The woman here, the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, she recognizes there are people that are poor. Now, when you help the poor one time, isn't it wonderful? It's all done and they're gone. It's all fixed. No, it's not that way, is it? The poor are always with you. There are always people around you who are needy and hurting. There are always people who are struggling physically, people that are struggling emotionally, people that are struggling spiritually. Be sensitive to the people in the world around you. Have empathy and care about them to where you will take time out of your life to use your hands and your abilities to do good to those in the world around you. Be careful, little hands, what you do. If you do the will of God, you will be practicing love and honor and kindness to the people in the world around you. It's a simple song that we sing in the Vacation Bible School, isn't it? But is the message important? Is the message true? Yes! It's a message that a seven-year-old can understand and grasp. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you say. Be careful what your feet are going. Be careful what your hands are doing. God in heaven is watching us. And he's warning us who wear his name and the name of his son. He's warning us as Christians to truly be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, doing his word. And as you do his word by faith, you will be practicing wisdom. You'll be avoiding the path of evil and wickedness. And you'll be doing good with your hands to people around you. And you will hopefully get to the end of a day one day and go, you know, that just may have been the perfect day. For you to reach that perfect day, you have to be careful and make sure you're doing the will of God. I hope you were benefited by the sermon. If there's anybody here this morning, though, who is not a Christian yet, if you have studied the Gospels or heard them preached, and you've come to believe that Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you realize and you believe that he died on that cross at Calvary for your sins, and after that he was buried and rose again 3 days later, if this faith is in your heart and you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, be willing to open and confess your faith, and then motivated by your faith, make the commitment of repentance, that is to follow the word of God by faith in your life. If you're willing to make that commitment, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and you haven't been careful, you haven't been careful where you go, what you think, what you say, what you do, if you've gone into sin, I would hope that you would have the godly sorrow enough to ask God's forgiveness. And if you've sinned against people, ask their forgiveness. Because the truth of the matter is, we all mess up sometime. We all do. But when we do, have the humility to learn to say, I'm sorry to people, and especially when we've sinned against God, to seek forgiveness from God. If you desire us to pray for you, we'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, and we'll try to do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.